Amen. Thank you, Caitlin, for the beautiful song. If you didn't catch it, the title of her song was Rescue. How many times throughout our Christian lives have we needed those words? And perhaps you need it today. Amen. Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ and guests who I have not met before. If you haven't met me before, my name is Rick Punzo, and welcome to Santa Maria Valley Bible Church. Good morning to those online. For those who are sick, I pray that you feel better so that we can see you soon again. But before we continue with the message and see what God has put on my heart today, we need to bow our heads and ask for the Lord's help in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being our rescuer. Lord Jesus, we praise you. We praise you this morning at the breaking of bread. We praise you and worship you as we come in the second half to hear a message, Lord. And Lord, the speaker's job is not to talk about themselves. No, it's simply just to point people to you. To bow our heads and ask for help in a message and that your Holy Spirit would speak to us. And then when we get up here, Lord, it is your words that you once said, not ours. That you would use it to glorify yourself, that you would use it to edify our lives. And that you use it to open the eyes of those here who may not know you. That they would see how much you love them and that you went to the cross for them and want to rescue them from their sins so they would be saved once and for all. So, Lord, I ask for your help with this message today. And I love and praise you. In your most precious name we pray, amen. So I want to open with a story. You might have heard this story before. Maybe you read about it. I think it was said in a message before. So I wanted to share it again because I read it the other day and it made me laugh. And so when I start speaking, if you know the story, don't spoil it for the person next to you. All right? I think Adel might have given it. But anyway, the story is called The Tale of the Faithful Man and the Rescue Boat. So here's what it says. Once there was a boat sailing not too far from the shore of a town when it capsized. A rescue boat was sent out immediately, but there was only room on board for half of the survivors. The Coast Guards decided to fill the boat up and then come back after for the remaining passengers. So they got everyone on board they could until there was only one space left. They called out to the nearest man, "Quick, get in the boat." "No, I do not need to," said the man. "I know God will save me." The Coast Guards were confused, but had no time to waste. They quickly got the next person on board and took the first lot of survivors to safety, before soon returning for the remaining people. They filled the boat until there was only, again, one survivor left in the water, the same man. "Come on," the Coast Guard said again, "time to get in the boat." "No," the man said once again, "God will save me." The Coast Guards became frustrated. "What are you talking about? We can't leave you here. Please get in the boat." But the man remained stubborn. "No, I am a man of faith. I know God will save me." At this point, the Coast Guards realized a storm was approaching and they had to get those already in the rescue boat back to shore. A few minutes later, however, they returned for a third time. "Now is your last chance," they said to the man. "We won't be able to come back again. You must get in the boat now." And once again, the man repeated, "No, God will save me." "Listen," the Coast Guard said sternly, "a storm is approaching. There's no way you will survive. You can't stay here forever. You must get in the boat now." But the man at this point had grown angry. "How many times do I have to tell you I don't need your boat? I'm a faithful God-fearing man, and I know God will save me." At this point, the Coast Guards can see the storm was starting to form. So with no other choice, they turned the rescue boat around and retreated to shore in defeat and dismay. The storm came and the man drowned. Not funny in real life, but for the story, it's pretty funny. His soul went up to heaven where he met his creator. "My God, I don't understand," the man began in desperation and confusion. "I'm a good man. Why did you not save me?" "Well," God replied, "did I send the boat three times? May we not be like this man." In our country today, there are many types of people, organization, government agencies that are first responders, that rescue people. We have our policemen, firemen, the Red Cross, Homeland Security, search and rescue like the United States Coast Guard. Special shout out for Bill Murray, who was in the Coast Guard. Thank you, Bill, for your service. And all of these are needed. And perhaps we take them for granted until the time is needed for when someone or some people need to get rescued. We recently saw it in the hurricanes in the southeastern part of our country with how many people being rescued, a lot of people being rescued. And thank God for first responders for their bravery and courage. The common theme for people that get rescued is gratitude. Thankful for the rescuer. A renewed appreciation for life. Oftentimes people change their lives. They strive to live, be a better person. Not take things for granted. Some people give or support the organizations that rescued them with money or support in other ways. The word rescue should be a very meaningful word to a Christian. One of those words that give you great emotions, positive emotions, joy, gratefulness, peace, hope. I got two more for you. Encouragement and promise. It should give us a deep love for the one who has rescued us. Not a shallow love, a deep love for the one who will rescue us throughout our Christian life. It should give us a desire to continue to develop a relationship with him, a close relationship to the one who has rescued us and will continue to do so. It should give us a desire to be dedicated in service to the one who has rescued us and will continue to do so. Christians in the room today, let me ask you a question. Have you been rescued? Of course the answer is yes. It's a big yes. As a Christian, you've been rescued when you became a Christian and got saved. Do you remember that day when you asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sins? Based on his work on the cross? And he said yes. And then as Christians throughout your life, how many times have you been rescued? Probably many times through various situations. Times that you are aware of, and probably times when you have no clue, because God's watching you. There are times the Lord tries to rescue us to get our attention so we don't make mistakes. Hasn't the Lord done that in your life? I've been rescued quite a few times, I got to admit. The title of my message today is Thankful for the Rescuer. Simply, thankful for the rescuer. The word rescue means an act of saving or being saved from danger or distress. You'll notice in the definition there are two words, danger and distress. Well, what does danger mean? The possibility of suffering harm or injury. Distress means extreme anxiety, sorrow, or pain. These are all words we can relate to and understand. We know the Bible is full of stories of God rescuing people. They're pretty awesome stories. And they're true. They're not fake. They're not make-believe. The rules say that. Oh, the Red Sea didn't happen. Well, I think there's scientific proof it did happen, but that's for another day. Remember Daniel rescued from the lion den. David from his enemies, how he praises the Lord in the Psalms. And then I love walking through the Bible because you go to the New Testament and you see in the Gospels when the Lord Jesus Christ was here, what did he do? He healed people, those who were demon-possessed, those whose infirmities no one else could heal but him. And then after the cross and the resurrection, when you go to the book of Acts and he went back up to heaven, how the Lord used his people. When the gospel was preached, people started to get saved from their sins. And then we see the Lord rescuing his disciples. We see Paul and Peter in different times of their ministries, how the Lord rescued them from things. So I have 2 points today for my message, if you could put them on the board, please. One, Jesus rescued us when he saved us. And 2, Jesus rescues us throughout our lives. Simple, beautiful points, and a lot there. My first point, Jesus rescued us when he saved us. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, or two verses, because it means a lot to me. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14, these are powerful words. Verse 13 says this, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness," talking about our Lord Jesus, "and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." We know we live in a very dark world. We see it every day in the news, on the internet, talk to people. And as Christians, we must not forget we were under the rule of the devil. Not a make-believe character, not a figment of our imagination, not a man-created person. We were under rule of him. But Jesus provided redemption, as the verses I read say. We were slaves to sin and Satan. Oh, make no mistake about it. If you're not a Christian, you are in his hands. It's no joke. It's not a scare tactic. The Bible preaches it on authority of God's word. That's what it says. Oh, but as a Christian, but through his anointing death, Christ purchased us, forgave our sins when we called out to him. What did he do to you? He rescued you. He didn't say, you know, Adel, I'll wait 2 months to save you. You know, get your life better, Dean. No. God's rescue of salvation is immediate. It is a prayer to him. And I pray that everybody here knows him as their Lord and Savior. But as a Christian, I want to live my life as someone who's been rescued. Show my gratitude by my service and dedication. Having a deep love for my Savior. You know, when I was thinking about this message, one person came to mind in the Bible, and there's a lot of people that love the Lord and were dedicated in service to him. But one woman stood out. She hit me like a big rock on my shoulders. How much the Lord rescued her and how she lived her life, a thankful service dedicated life. And she had such a deep love for Jesus. The person I'm going to read about today in three short portions of scripture for my first point is Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene. Let's read Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says this, "After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons have come out." Not one, not two, 7. "Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others, these women were helping to support them out of their own means." What a beautiful story. Mary Magdalene was delivered from 7 demons. Can you imagine the darkness she must have felt? The helplessness that she must have felt? But then she met Jesus. And what did he do? He rescued her. He told those 7 demons, "Get out of her. I'm here now. You have no business in being in this young woman. She's mine now." We can relate. I don't forget darkness before Christ. I don't forget helplessness before Christ. But like Mary, Jesus came by and rescued me. Isn't it great as a Christian? When God saves you from darkness, you can feel the chains falling off. You literally can. I think we have a hymn that talks about, one of the hymns has a beautiful verse about that. The chains fell off, and what did we do? We walked into the light of our Savior. What a beautiful light. You know, Christmas is coming, and I love Christmas lights, but they always remind me of Jesus, don't they? So let's continue to read about Mary Magdalene, who was at the cross. And there's a beautiful point with this one. In John chapter 19, verse 25, it says this, "Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene." You know, when Jesus was crucified, and read the Gospels, there were so many there that hated him, that were watching. We read about it all the time during the breaking of bread. But think about it for a second. Those who beat him were watching. Those who touched his face were watching. Those who mocked him were watching. The Bible says people walked by, hurling insults, shaking their heads. They thought he was a joke. Our Savior was a fool for you and I. We see the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocking him. And of course, we know the two robbers also heaped insults at him. Jesus knew all of them by name. He was beaten and bruised, but he wasn't stupid, right? Savior knew everybody who was there. But he also knew Mary Magdalene was there, one who truly loved him. She didn't care who saw her. As a devoted servant of the Lord, she refused to abandon him, even in his darkest hours. She bravely stayed to offer comfort and support in any way she could. She did not forget the one who rescued her. Sometimes we forget the one who rescued us, how we live our lives. Things get dark. I don't want to be a dedicated Christian. I have a trial I don't want to deal with. I don't want to be a dedicated Christian. No. We place our trust in our rescuer. Amen. My last portion of scripture for Mary Magdalene for my first point. And again, this is a beautiful section. Mary Magdalene was at the resurrection, as we know as the Gospels say. In John chapter 20, we know this very well. She went to the empty tomb and didn't see the body. And she went to tell the disciples, and they came running, and they looked in. They didn't see her, see the body of Jesus. So the disciples went back to their homes, and understandably, everybody's confused. They're still trying to process everything. But what did Mary Magdalene do? She stayed there. And boy, did she get the biggest blessing you could ever ask for. John chapter 20, verses 11 through 16 says this. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." Listen to her words. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. Someone wrote in a commentary that they believed that she could not see Jesus because her tears were too much. That's how much she loved Jesus. I pray that I love my Savior like she did. Verse 15. He said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where have you put him, and I will get him." In verse 16, Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned around and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Don't we see her devotion and love for Jesus in this portion of Scripture? She'd been rescued from much, therefore she loved much. I have been rescued from much, may I love much. You've been rescued from much, may you love much. You've been forgiven much, may you love much. She wept. I know what it is to get teary-eyed. I know what it is to cry. And I know what it is like to weep. I know what it is like to weep. And I know many here know that feeling. She wept. Jesus meant everything to her. Don't you just see it? Isn't it a beautiful story? She thought someone took the Lord's body. She was stolen it, and she was broken. But the Lord gave her the blessing because she stayed. She didn't go home. She didn't want to go anywhere else. It's like the people who don't want to go to church, they make excuses. This is where you should be. Not because the church wants your money or your time. No, you should come to worship and be with Christians and serve where God places you. She didn't want to go to her house. She wanted to stay by the tomb because she knew that's the last place Jesus was. And he showed himself to her. And she got the blessing to go back to everybody. "I saw Jesus," and he gave her instructions, and she went to tell everybody. She's a wonderful example of someone who was rescued, that became a dedicated servant, and who showed how much she loved her Lord. You know, I was praying, so I said, "Lord, you know, I pray I'm like her. I pray that I'm thankful for the rescuer." Amen. My second point today, Jesus rescues us throughout our lives. This is a big one. You know, for today's message, I chose two portions of Scripture in the book of Acts. Two rescues, two prison breaks for my message. The first one is Peter, and the second one is Paul and Silas. And if you have you were at the Harvest Festival, we had some young ones be Paul and Silas, right? And then we have the jailer, Mr. Murray Jr. Actually, Colin walked in today, and I called him the jailer, and he smiled. Let's look at Peter's story first. He was arrested and put in jail by King Herod, and we know the church was being persecuted. And King Herod wanted to bring Peter out for trial after the Passover. So let's read Acts chapter 12, verses 5 through 11, a portion of the story, but let's read what it says. Verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before King Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrist. The angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself and went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. And Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from King Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." Let's talk about the second prison break. Paul and Silas. We know their situation. Paul commands an evil spirit out of a slave girl who had been following them. And we know she was possessed. She was used for fortune telling, and she made a lot of money for her owners. And Paul told the evil spirit to get out of her, and we know their owners got mad and took Paul and Silas in front of the magistrates, and what happened? They were beaten and thrown in prison. Oh, but God had a purpose. He was going to do a rescue. Actually, he was going to do two rescues. Let's read Acts chapter 16, starting 25 through 32. Verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Kind of a common theme of both stories, right? Continues, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prison was shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. He was terrified. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for the lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the words of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. Two rescues, right? Paul and Silas were rescued from jail, but the jailer and his household were rescued from the dominion of darkness. We know from the scripture later on, Paul and Silas were brought to the jailer's home, and he took care of them, fed them, took care of their wounds, and he and his whole household got saved. Two rescues. God has a purpose when he wants to rescue us. He has a purpose. It may not just to rescue us. It may be used to save somebody else. Maybe to rescue somebody else. So for today's message, for my second point, I have three points. They were imprisoned for their faith. They were imprisoned for their faith. You know, in this country, we may never face imprisonment for our faith. But we know through Scripture and we know throughout this world and other countries, people are in prison for their faith. And we may never go to prison for it. But it does not mean that we do not know what it feels like to be in a prison sometimes. It does not mean we do not know how it feels to be attacked. It could be a trial, as we all know. It could be temptation. It could be our thoughts that get the best of us. Remember, our enemy looks to cause us danger and distress. He wants to do the exact opposite of rescue. He wants to destroy you. For the person who doesn't know Christ, he wants you never to know him. So that when you leave this world, you will not be in heaven, but you will be in hell, because the Bible preaches that. But to the Christian, he wants to make your life miserable. Let me tell you something. If the Lord's using you or wants to use you in a bigger way, Satan will attack. If you just had success in the Lord, God used you for his glory, Satan will attack. If you're raising your family for the Lord, raising your kids for Jesus, he will attack. In your weakest moments, he will attack. If you're a new Christian in time, he will discourage you from walking. He will attack you. He'll whisper, it's not worth the cost to be a Christian. Go back to your old life. It's better. He will. He did that to me when I was the first Christian, when I first became saved. He used to tell me that. Our enemy wants to whisper in your ear that Jesus will not rescue you. He will not get you through the danger and distress. It will overcome you. To the unsaved person, he will tell them, you know, you're too lost in your sin. God will not forgive that sin. You're too far gone. I will not save you. Satan will tell people that. And as a Christian, he will tell us that throughout our lives. But let's look at some facts. Some great facts. One, Jesus is with us in the prison. I have wept before in my life, but I knew when I was weeping, he was there. Jesus is more powerful than Satan. That's it. Satan doesn't have 1% chance even touching Jesus. Jesus is more powerful than Satan. We need to cling to that one. There is no rescue that the Lord cannot do. How's your faith? There's not one rescue the Lord can't do. Can someone stop him? Can someone tell the Lord, yeah, you can't rescue that person? No. I love this one. Jesus hears your cry when you cry out to be rescued. He hears you. I always tell Caitlin, don't cry alone. Cry with Jesus. He's there. Jesus promises to rescue you. He does. Jesus is your shelter and your armor, your protector. He's your shepherd. These are just a full bullet points I wrote down. The list can be endless, but we don't have time. It's endless when we talk about Jesus. Amen? My next thought. What was happening in Peter and Paul and Silas' situations when they're in jail? There's a common theme there. You know they were in darkness when all they can do is sit and wait. There is no way they're getting out of those prisons on their own strength. This ain't a Hollywood movie. No one was coming to rescue them. There wasn't going to be the... I grew up watching The A-Team. Maybe you know that TV show, The A-Team? It's one of my favorite shows. Well, I don't really watch it anymore. That's it'd be embarrassing if I still watched it. But no, there's no A-Team coming in the jail to rescue them. Oh, but Jesus is coming. But here's the common theme. In Peter's story, the first verse that I read in Peter's story, Acts chapter 12 and 5, it states the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Praying. Paul and Silas' story, Acts chapter 16, verse 25, the very first verse that I read. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. You know, brothers and sisters, there's power in prayer. Make no mistake about it. There's power in praise. When you need to be rescued and are waiting for the Lord, remember to do this. Now people say, oh, I know how to do that. But I'm telling you, when you need to be rescued, we forget sometimes. We really do. When I was sick with COVID, my fever wasn't going down for 3 straight days. And Wednesday night, I really thought I was going to go to the hospital. I'm being completely honest with you. So I went to bed that night, and I wasn't going to share this, but the Lord wants me to share it. I went to bed that night, and I fell asleep, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I knew it was the enemy whispering in my ears. Everybody knows what our family went through in COVID, those who are here. And Satan whispered a very discouraging thought in my mind and woke me up. Because as soon as I opened my eyes, that's the first thing I thought of. And he did that 3 nights. But I was ready for him. I had my Bible in my bed. So I grabbed it and prayed. I'm not that macho. I may act that way. But I'm not when it comes to this stuff. I cleaned to my Lord. I quoted scripture. I was ready for him. I remember those hymns. Lord said he's going to attack you, and he did. But that's what he does, doesn't he? You got to be ready. There's power in prayer. There's power in praise. There's power when you read his word. There's power when you sing a hymn. You know what? Every time he came with the word, I never took his bait, and he left quickly because of that. It's not because of anything that I did. The Lord allowed it to happen in my life so that I would share it today to be an encouragement to somebody else. And I pray it is. Because you find comfort, don't you? Don't you find strength that you don't think you ever can have to get up in the morning? Your situation may be dark, but your thoughts and heart can be in the light. Think about that for a second. Your situation can be dark. And we don't discount whatever anybody's going through. Never. I would never discount. The leadership would never discount anything that you go through. We understand darkness. But your thoughts, your heart can be in the light when you're clinging to your rescuer. Amen? My last point, have faith in the rescuer. Kind of said that before, but I have some points I want to talk about. When we need to be rescued from danger and distress, let us remember the Lord can rescue us with the snap of his fingers. And sometimes he does. But sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes the rescue is a process. It takes time. It could be a week, a month, or longer. Remember, let him rescue you according to his will, his way, his timing. Sometimes we want to rescue ourselves, but God has a plan. You think Paul and Silas wanted to be in jail, be beat? No, of course not. But God had a plan and see what happened. He was glorified through their testimony. He rescued them, but the jailer and his household got saved through it. When we let Jesus do the rescuing, I guarantee you this, you will see him in a more intimate way. Your relationship will deepen with him. You will love him more. You will praise him more. And he gets glorified. You know, you give a message like this, the Lord will rescue you, and there's always skeptics out there because we know how the world is and how Satan whispers in people's ears. Well, Christians, harm happens to Christians, don't they? Yes, they do. Danger and stress happens to Christians. We get hit sometimes. And we know through time and through the word and through this world, Christians have been stoned to death for Jesus, have died for him. Stephen, we know, he preached God's word. You're thinking, Stephen, man, he should be living for another 100 years, he was such a powerful speaker. But his time was up on this earth after he gave his gospel. What did the Lord do? He had him be stoned. But someone eloquently said, God rescued Stephen from this world. Amen. It's important that we live by faith, that we place our trust in the rescuer to get us whatever we're going through or we'll go through. Whatever danger or distress that happens to us, he will rescue us in his timing, his way, his will. But may we take comfort that we're in his hands. Amen. In conclusion, Caitlin's been practicing this song for the last couple of months, Rescue. And, you know, I always hear her practice the song and I start memorizing the words with you because I hear him all the time. The Lord always has a purpose, and the last month or two, we've experienced some things and are currently going through some things. And it made me thankful that I have a rescuer. And that's why I came up with this message. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the rescue of salvation. for the free gift of salvation. That I'm His. I'm thankful throughout my Christian life He has rescued me. I started thinking about them throughout my Christian life through this message. Isn't it beautiful when you think about that? How the Lord's rescued you from stuff. We can claim His promise, Lord, I know You will rescue me. According to Your will, according to Your way, according to Your timing. And You'll be okay with that. That You will rescue me like You have done in the past. That You're currently doing now. And You will do in the future until You take me home. Christians, let's be thankful for our rescuer. Amen. And in closing, I said this before, but I want to say this again. If you're not a Christian, there is one rescue that's always immediate. People live their life in religions or their own thinking. I got to earn my way to salvation. I got to do these 10 steps. I got to give this. That is the big lie from Satan. And he has no business. But the rescue of salvation is immediate. That is one that's always immediate. When someone asks Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior, they realize what He did on the cross for them, that He died for them, that He rose again 3 days later as in heaven, that He wants to forgive your sins and rescue you from hell. Amen. So you know where you're going. It always breaks my heart when I talk to somebody and you ask them if they're going to heaven, they say, I don't know. Or they joke about it. Or they're serious and say, I hope so. I've been going to church my whole life. I hope I've done enough. That is the biggest lie from Satan. And I just want to say, if you're listening or if you're here and Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, remember He wants to rescue you today. He loves you. He wants you to know Him as your own personal Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's end in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we once again thank You for our time together, Lord. We thank You for every single person that's here today and every single person that's listening online. Lord, we gather to, again, hear Your word. And this is the message that You wanted to be said today, Lord. We thank You for being our rescuer for the Christian. We thank You for that. We thank You for rescuing us throughout our lives. We thank You for that promise that You will rescue us. And Lord, as we leave this building today, may we take that in our hearts and be a blessing and light to this world that needs to be rescued. That You would give us the opportunity to witness to people, whether it's family, neighbors, cousins, people that we work with, that You'd give us the words to show people how much You love them. And Lord, as we leave now, protect us as we go on the road, as we go back and forth, until the next time that we gather as a body. We praise You and love You. In Your most precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.